All right, let's get going here. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to talk to you today about how to communicate and deal with disagreements in the home. You don't hear practical preaching on things like this very often, and there's some principles in the scriptures that will help you. There are some here today that are married, and these principles will help you. Maybe you need to reestablish some of these principles. Maybe you need to brush up on some of these things. Maybe you don't know some of these things. Secondly, there are those that want to be married someday, and you definitely need to understand these principles and deal with how to communicate and how to deal with disagreements in the home, how to do it a biblical way, and actually deal with something, okay? You don't get anywhere in a marriage by sweeping things under the rug and ignoring that they're happening. I've seen so much of that. That is that Ahab spirit, and it's like you sweep it under the rug and you don't want to deal with it. So let's just harbor bad feelings towards each other to where they get to the point where they blow up and then nobody's happy, nobody has joy, there's none, and then we just ruin and destroy everything. And then bitterness creeps in. You have a bitter heart over everything. And then you don't grow spiritually. You're living a fake life. You know how many fundamentalists go to church every Sunday and their homes are an absolute wreck? They have no communication with one another. They fight like cats and dogs, and then they go up to the church house and they smile, put a smile on their face, and act like everything's perfect. And then, what happens? They go to a revival meeting, and they pay some guy $1,500 a week to come in, maybe more. $1,000, $1,500, whatever. Pay for all his expenses or whatever. Have him come in, and they're having revival meetings. But you notice how these revival, they never really deal with any issues. They don't deal with sin. They don't deal with any of the things that are necessary to bring about a spiritual revival. We think of a spiritual revival as something that has to take place. And it's a broad spread where everybody is just moved and they're all crying and weeping and praying and howling and barking like a dog or squealing like a pig or all those other things that they do down, that many churches do down south. Not all of them, but many of them do down south. They're, what do you call that? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, no substance. It's like all the arguments with the, it reminds me of these arguments with about the Ken Hovind, no substance. Some guy's like, you have leather seats. Maybe you should be giving that up. You shouldn't be running around with leather seats. I mean, seriously, the truck is 13 years old, okay? It's not new. Don't get mad because the Lord blesses us and we're smart to buy smart. It's 13 years old. It's not like it's a $60,000 truck, right? You got leather. Don't be jealous either, Lee. Yeah, or the Flintstone mobile, you mean, where you're just like, yeah. You need a go-kart. It's fine for you, preacher. You're not supposed to have anything. Do you remember Elijah and John the Baptist? You're supposed to be eating bugs. What's the matter with you? It's more spiritual. Anyway, the point is that they overlook all of these things, all of the necessities and the important things. You want to know what brings about real revivals? When you actually deal with things. When you actually deal with things that are wrong in the home, in your life, in your spiritual walk, when you actually have repentance, when you actually start obeying the scriptures, then you see the power of God. Everybody's praying for the power of God. Why don't you obey God? And then you'll see the power of God. Start obeying God. Start obeying the Bible to see the power of God. Power comes through obedience. It doesn't come through any other means. It comes through just obeying the clear scriptures. So how do we communicate and deal with disagreements in the home? I'm going to read you one verse here, and then we're going to get into a lot of verses here. But I want to give you some principles. And then I'm going to talk to you next week about the father and the importance of the father in the home, all right, and his importance and his influence. And I'm going to talk to you about raising children. We're going to go through talking about children, how to deal with our children, And I'm going to expand on some things that I taught 5 years ago. I think it was 5 years ago. It's been a long time. And I'm going to expand and revise and change a bunch of those things, add to them a whole lot of things, which I'm learning that churches go through cycles. And we have a whole new group of young married couples and young families, and now it's time to go back through again. So, anyway, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. Now, I want you to notice this, okay, because this is the important part. As being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We are to dwell together as heirs together. All right. So we are to dwell together, understanding our inheritance, understanding what our duty is in this life. And we can't do that unless we communicate. We can't do that unless we communicate well. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures on it. Let's pray first. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, dear God, to understand these truths from the scriptures, how to communicate, Lord, how to deal with disagreements. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we shouldn't say if disagreements come in the home, but rather when disagreements come in the home, because they are going to happen. You know, the disagreements are going to come, being two people that are to be one flesh and being fallen creatures who have been saved but still war against that flesh, you're going to have disagreements. The fact that a wife has to submit to a fallen man, that was part of Eve's judgment. She always was to be submissive to Adam. But now she'd be submissive to a man that had fell, that was not perfect. Isn't that something, lady? The challenge of your life is you think, well, you know, when everything's going good, I can submit. I know, but the hardest part in life is for you to understand as a lady and as a wife, you must submit when things aren't going well. When you understand your husband has a fallen nature, now he's to walk in the new man, but he still has that flesh. Not that that's an excuse to sin. It's not. But the point is that he is going to be flawed. All right? He is just like you are going to be flawed. You are flawed. Amen, I am. We have flaws. We have failures. And it's dealing with that and understanding that. And now how do I communicate through that? I believe it's vitally important that you and I handle our disagreements in the home biblically. Because many little eyes are watching. And that will shape the way they deal with their spouses and what they find acceptable in the future. I believe there's always a biblical way to handle everything in the home or any other challenge because we have the Bible, because the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. For what? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So everything's in the Bible. All the answers are not found in James Dobson's focus on the family. They're not found in Christian psychology or psychiatry, which I probably should preach one message on that garbage. But and I will sometime. Stupid humanistic nonsense. Try to mix Jesus up in that garbage. Yeah. All those, what's the name of that? Focus on the family. Yeah, James Dobson. You know, maybe I'll preach a sermon called Focus on Your Own Family. And, yeah, amen. Anyway, but there's always a biblical way to handle it because God has given us, you have to believe that God has given you everything in his word, everything to handle every situation. I'm going to tell you what some of your problems are. You're too proud and you don't believe God has the answer. Let me tell you something, what I've seen with people. Here's what I've seen. You think that your situation is so special. You think my situation, nobody's been through what I've been through. Nobody could possibly go through what I've been through. So therefore, my situation's tougher. That's the biggest load of pride I've ever heard in my life. Your situation is no different than any other saint of God that struggled, fought, and had to serve God, live for God, struggle through temptation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common for man. Get over your little pity party and grow up. Put on your big boy pants or your big girl skirt. Oh, put on a skirt if you're a man. And don't put on the britches if you're a woman either. Amen. Somebody might not like that out there, but that's all right. I don't get paid for what you like anyway, so. I'm called to say the things you don't like. Amen. And to make sure you hear them very loudly. Amen. Anyway. But your situation is no different. The answer is in the scriptures. It's so sad when people exalt themselves above the word of God and act like, well, my situation is, I don't know what to do because this, I can tell you what to do. Follow the book. Right. Why don't you drop your pride and admit that you're not all that like you think you are? Right. And that you have to submit to this book. Amen. Maybe you'll start seeing God work in your life. But when you keep stiffening your neck and hardening your heart, you're not going to get anywhere but woe is me. That's the sorrow of the world that worketh death. It never helps you grow spiritually to feel sorry for yourself. Yeah. Anyway, that was free. I really wasn't part of the message, but I enjoyed saying it. So next, I'm going to give you the first point here. Do not involve others in your marital disagreements. That's the first thing. Now, let me preface that by saying, there is a time when you need help, obviously, okay? But it's not for every little thing that comes up. Nowhere in the Bible do we see that others are to be added to our marital disagreements. You want to cause some problems in your marriage? Now, I'm not speaking of special circumstances. You're being abused. You're going through extreme verbal abuse. Things are really bad. You need to talk to somebody. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about normal day-to-day things that you go complain to others about. That's not biblical. Don't complain about your spouse to somebody else. If you spent as much time praying for your spouse and praying with your spouse than complaining about her or him, you might just see the power of God there. But I marvel so much how people go to the other people with the problems they have and not go to the person they have the problem with. Right. There may be a time to seek godly counsel on matters that you need a mediator for. And that mediator should be someone of spiritual authority if it gets that far. A pastor or some spiritual authority that can help to mediate. One that will be unbiased and make sure that both sides are able to deal with things biblically. Sometimes we need mediators when we're not communicating right. I've seen that before in marriages at different times where they just needed a little bit of a push. And I've done that. I've haven't inserted myself. I've been asked to. So I'll say, okay, I'll listen. And then I'll usually look at both of you and say, well, you're wrong. Both of you. And this is why. Amen. Sometimes we need mediators when we're not communicating right, but we should not be going to others before we sit down and reason with each other. The Bible says we are joint heirs of eternal life. As a husband, I should be able to lead my wife and teach her, and she should be able to talk to me, and I should be able to listen to her, voice her concerns. I ought to be able to listen to that. Now, some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate, and the reason you're looking at me like that is because you've never seen anybody do that before. All you've seen is bickering, fighting, arguing, bad attitudes, wrong spirits, people angry, husbands being like Nabal, which we're going to talk about soon, which is an extreme version. It's like the other direction of Ahab. It's a Nabal that has a Nabal spirit that's just like a son of Belial that no man can speak to him. That's not leadership. Yeah, yeah. But you ought to be able to. Don't involve your parents in disagreements with your spouse. Don't go complain about your wife or your child or anybody else to your parents. No, you talk to your wife. A real man goes to his wife and he addresses things with her. A real lady, a real biblical lady, goes to her husband and talks to him. And a real man will listen when his wife talks. And not ignore what she has to say. Sometimes you ignore your wife at your own peril. And sometimes She's following the Bible, and she's very sensitive to some things. She's like, I don't think this is a good idea. Okay, well, explain to me, why don't you think it's a good idea? And if she says, she gives you a good reason, you better think about it. That's not sinful. That's not wrong. That's not your wife leading you. That's not, it's not a sin to listen. Right? Right? It's not a sin to listen to her and let her voice her concerns. If you shut her off and don't let her say anything about anything, then you just discourage her. And she's like, well, I can't go to you. I don't know what to do. And that's when she's going to turn somewhere else. She's got to be able to talk to you. Now, we're not talking about things of adultery or sin or abuse or anything like that. If you're being abused and your husband doesn't want to do right, then you come talk to us. I'll be sure to talk to him. I promise. Promise I will. I've done it. I've done it before. And I'll definitely do it again. But I won't be alone either. I'll take another man with me. One of the quickest ways to invite problems into your marriage is to tell mom and dad and other family members how upset you are or how you think your husband or wife is inferior in some way. Or she has a problem doing this, or you don't like the way she cleans this, or a problem cooking, or you have a complaint about something your spouse is doing. It should not be taken to others, but it should be dealt with together. Don't do that. I understand sometimes joking and stuff like that, but I mean, when you're being serious, when you have a serious thing, and I'll talk about the jesting too in a minute. But many times spouses call their mom or dad to complain about their wife or husband. That's sin. Amen. You're to leave and to cleave. Amen. Now again, we're not talking about abuse or danger or something terrible. We're talking about disagreements in the home. Many times hard feelings come between the in-laws and the outlaws because of the wife or the husband running their mouth and spreading the story around to family members. We don't want that type of relationship. You're not going to communicate well in your home by doing that. If your wife cannot trust you, if your husband cannot trust you. Nor do we want our in-laws or outlaws thinking poorly of our spouses. We never should be murmuring and complaining about our wife to our family members or our husband to our family members and mom and dad. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Yep. We're not to murmur or complain. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. 2 Thessalonians 3, 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Don't be a busybody going around talking to everybody else and telling everything that's going on in your home. Don't do that. The Bible is very clear that we are not to be talebearers, to go up about telling others' businesses or busybodies in other men's affairs. 1 Timothy 5:13, and with all they learn to be idle. This is talking about the women. Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Again, that doesn't mean if you're, remember, we talked about this on Wednesday. There's a time to rebel against authority. If authority is asking you to sin or sinning and doing wickedly and they want you to follow in that wickedness, then there's a time to rebel against that. I've talked about that on Wednesday. You can listen to that. You know my stand on that. That is the exception, but this is the rule. And with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Keep busy at home. See to thine own house. Amen. We shouldn't be spreading family squabbles around everyone. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of women out there, moms and grandmas, they like to do that. They like to spread that garbage around everyone. Why don't you keep your mouth shut? You don't need to spread. We don't need to know our brother is mad at us and about something frivolous, or they make a comment about us that's not right. Who cares? Amen. I ain't that great anyway. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Well, so-and-so's mad at you because you said this or you said that. Who cares? Yeah, grow up. What are you, junior high, mom? Right, when you hear them being tattlers and busybodies, mom, grandma, guess what you're supposed to do? Don't do that. That's your brother. If you have a problem with your brother, you go talk to your brother. Amen. Don't be telling me. Amen. Right. Amen. See how that ends up? Yep. Why? Because they ain't going to come back and tell you that. You know why they're not going to come back and tell you that? Because they're going to get the same medicine when they do. Yep. Right. So then you stop the talebearer. Yep. Amen. And you stop the tattler. And you stop the busybody. Right. It's done. No more. Why? Well, there's no audience. He shut me down with the Bible. I can't go back to him. So if I want to continue my manipulative ways, then I have to do that with somebody else because he's not going to bite. See how you shut that down? Many people have a problem with talking. This is so practical, isn't it? I know it's very practical and simple, but it's needed. These are the things that bring revival. When you stop doing these things, and you start obeying the scriptures and stop falling into this trap, then God uses you and you see the power of God in your life. When you continue on to these things and do these things, this is what muddies up the waters and causes you not to have the power of God because you're not being obedient to God. It's wrong and a surefire way to have a problem with your spouse if you go to your friends to murmur and complain. She is the weaker vessel. She's not to be exposed before others. Her faults are not to be shown to everyone, but you're to be patient with her. Very patient. She is the weaker vessel. Many people have a problem with talking to the wrong person about an issue instead of going to the person you have the problem with. Telling your sisters in Christ about your husband's faults should never be done. But you should bear patiently with his faults and go talk to him. Same thing goes with the wife. Or to the husband, that he should do the same thing. He should bear patiently with yours. Complaining and exposing the faults of your spouse is no way to handle disagreements or shortcomings in the home. God hates that complaining and murmuring spirit, and it is in no way to you're in no way to deal with disagreements like that. Don't allow Satan to use your discontent and lack of forbearance as a wedge between the husband and wife. He'll use it. He'll use it in any relationship. All he wants is a wedge. That's all he wants. He wants to get in there and divide. Because he knows once you're divided, there's no power. That's right. Number two, recognize Christ's headship and lordship of your home. This is important in all communications. Why? Because Christ settles the matter. If you and I agree that Christ settles everything. The word of God is our final authority. That's it. I've heard people say sole authority. Let me correct something there, okay? That I believe is a problem. God set up authorities in the scriptures. If you say, well, the Bible's my sole authority. Wait a minute, is it? Because God set up other authorities. Right. To say it's my final authority means that if all other authorities fail me, God's word is final. But God did set up other authorities. He set up the family government. He set up the whole, or the civil government and church government. To say that God's word is my sole authority means that I don't recognize any other authority. That's why final authority means it's the final one. If any of those other authorities that God set up tells me to go against God, then my final authority is this. See the difference? One is just ignoring any other authority. Saying, and I've seen that spirit. By the way, the man that wanted to do that, that left here, that's the one that promoted this sole authority. Why? And what did he do? Not follow any other authority. He didn't want the church's authority. He left. No, it's not interesting. It's just straight up practical. Right in your face rebellion is what it is. Mm-hmm. There's always a reason, friend. Oh, that's my sole authority. That's it. Wait, no, it would be your final authority. Because you have other authorities. Because Romans 13 says you have another authority. Because Genesis chapter 9 says that there are other authorities set up. Because a father is an authority in the home. you know what that was? And the same man did the same thing. But it's like, but that's like telling you, now, Dad, I realize. It's like Samuel coming to you and saying, Dad, I realize you told me to clean my room, but I have a sole authority. It doesn't say anything in the Bible about me cleaning my room. That's my sole authority, Dad. So, Dad, you have to take a hike. How would that go? About that good, right? It is the final authority. It settles every matter. It settles every matter. Final means that that's it. There's no place to appeal. It's the word of God. Anyway, so I hope that makes sense to you. That's why we say final authority, because there's a difference. You see, that's my only authority. That's it. That's all I thought. Well, then you're ignoring everything in the Bible. Because everything in the Bible says you have other authorities that are God-ordained. Uh-oh. The powers that be are... Okay, so that means that there's a power and an authority there. What does power mean? It means authority. Okay. Somebody's a little Bible dum-dum. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No home will ever be happy if Jesus is not the head of that home. The word of God has to be our final authority in everything. It has to be. Christ has to settle the matter. We must recognize his lordship and follow him. What does the Bible say? That ought to be where we come to. What does the Bible say about it? If we have a disagreement, what do we say? What does the Bible say? Before you get married, listen closely. Before you get married, those two that come together ought to agree on this one thing, or else they should not be married. We both agree that the word of God settles all matters. Not my feelings, not what I like, but the word of God. Christ is Lord of this home. We recognize his lordship, and his word settles everything. Not my opinion of his word, but his word. Not my parents' opinion, not what mom and dad used to do, not how mom and dad used to do it, but what the word of God says. Listen, anytime there's a dispute, what has to happen? There has to be a mediator, and there has to be an arbitrator, right? For the most part. Something has to be the final deciding factor. Something has to be the final authority. What's that? Oh, yeah. Something has to be the decider. That's right. All right? So, what does it have to be? It has to be the Bible. In a Christian's life, if you two can't agree, if you can't agree with a spouse or a woman that wants to marry you or a man wants to marry you, if you don't agree that the Word of God settles it all, don't get married. Because there's not going to be any order in the home. There has to be a final authority that decides all matters. Just like the church, we don't have to vote on all things. Why? Because we have a final authority. And God's word says, this is what it is. And what do we say? Amen. That's what we say. So be it. The will of the Lord is final. No home will ever be happy if Jesus is not the head. It will never function properly if the lordship and headship of Christ alone and his word is not recognized as the final authority. I'm going to take a drink of this here. If you as a husband will not recognize his lordship and submit to him, then how can you expect your wife to submit to you? Right. If you pretend to be a Christian while you're looking at pornography and doing all these things, what's going to happen? What's that going to do to that wife? She's not going to believe you because you haven't settled it. If she finds out about that, she ought to be able to say, look, husband, what's the Bible say? I thought we were going to live our lives according to the Bible. This is what God's word says. Now ought we to obey it? She just has to do it very softly. And that's all it'll take, if you're saved. If you're a lost, wicked, lying devil, then you won't care. God has ordained that you should be the head of the home. How can you lead your home, love your wife, and teach your children without first submitting to the lordship and headship of Christ over your home? Wives, you're to submit yourselves unto your own husbands. How can you do that if you have never fully submitted to Christ and his lordship over your life? Some of you ladies want to be married. Some of you single ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Until you submit to the lordship of Christ, you're going to make a rotten wife to somebody. I'm going to tell you that right now. That may not be very popular. You may not like me saying that. Of course, I don't care. But the point is, you have to understand, and that goes for a man too. If you've not submitted to the lordship of Christ here, you're not ready to get married. If you're not willing to submit to the lordship of Christ and recognize his lordship, you're not ready to get married. You're not even going to be able to communicate. You're not even going to be able to communicate in the home. How? You don't have a final authority. Children, how can you obey your parents if you don't obey Christ and follow his words? Can't. Parents, how can you expect your children to be obedient to the word of God or the authority of the home if you display an attitude of disrespect for the word of God and the house of God and the people of God? His church. Children ought to be given to the Lord and dedicated at birth. You already decide, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Talents ought to be given to the Lord to use for his glory. I mean, even at a young age, you see your children and they're able and God has gifted them with things. Ought to be dedicated to the Lord. Ought to be dedicated to the Lord. Possessions should be given to the Lord. All that we have is the Lord's. If Christ is ahead, then every decision is settled with the Bible. If you are not marrying but looking to get married, an understanding should be had that the Word of God settles all disagreements. Whatever is right in the sight of the Lord is what we will do. This settles much. Then it's not whether I'm angry or whether I'm sick of something or whether it makes me happy, but it's what the Word of God says. Not my feelings, not my self-driven desires, not my way or the highway, but God's way, the word of God. Then selfishness and other things will be weeded out by absolute authority in our lives, being the word of God and Christ, the head of the home. Many parents do not understand why their children are selfish, but if that is the pattern they have been showed, they will be like that. So we make Christ the head of the home and let the word of God settle all disputes. That's the second way, how to communicate in the home. You have a final arbitrator. This is it right here. This is the word of God. This all decisions. All the decisions settle with this. If you don't want to be that person, then don't get married. You know, you can avoid divorce and other problems if you just, before then, you just lay out all the ground rules and be very clear. I really believe that many divorces could have been avoided because marriages should have happened. And I believe that because they should have said, we're not going to agree on this. No, I don't want to be a biblical wife. No, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to submit to my husband. No, I don't want the Bible to be my final authority. I don't want to do any of those things. And then guess what? You wouldn't have married her. And then you wouldn't have the trouble. The fallout. Amen? I'm not beating anybody up. I'm trying to help you for the future. I'm trying to help some of you young ladies and young men that get starry-eyed sometimes. I want you to think about it. There are consequences for actions. And there's an awful price to pay when you don't do right. When you compromise, there's an awful price to pay. The hurt that you get, it doesn't go away. Decisions, wrong decisions that we make concerning these things stick with us for our whole life. Number 3, there's a proper communication in the home that should take place. Remember Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 4 is before Ephesians chapter 5. I say that, I know that's very simple, right? You're like, thank you, we didn't know that. Well, you know that, but do you understand the context of why I said that? Because before you get to talking about marriage and the home, he's talking about your communication. That's why we can't ignore the Bible and just read like little pet verses that we like. Woman, submit to your husband, right? Angel's looking at me like, that's not a verse. I saw that look. That's not in there. It's wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's what it is. I know. That was like a teacher look I think I got. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But she did kind of look at me funny like, that's not in there. That's the hillbilly version, just so you know. It's the Cooley translation, right? You never know what's going to happen, what's going to be said. It's going to be crazy. But anyway, no, it says wives, submit yourselves under your own husbands, right? But you can't ignore everything else in the Bible and just be like, that's all you have to do, and then you beat your wife over the head with that. I find some of these guys, I'm telling you what, some of you guys out there that listen to me, you make me mad sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. Because I find out later on what you've done with some of the things that I've taught. You've taken completely out of context, and you've just like, you're living in sin, and you're preaching to your wife about Hollywood and all these other things. What are you doing? Shut up and live for God. I mean, give me a break. You're browbeating your wife over some movie or even Disney or whatever. I know Disney's wicked. I've preached a whole series against it. I'm telling you, but you got to get things in order. You just don't pick a verse out, beat your wife over the head with it, and ignore your total responsibilities. My goodness. No wonder the woman doesn't trust anything you say. She thinks you're a hypocrite. And you are. Okay. I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
Oh, you just say things so listeners love you. Really? Do you even listen? You prophesy to them smooth things. Really? How long have you listened? Which sermon is that anyway? I've always promised somebody I was going to have an easy, so oh, this one shouldn't be too hard, didn't I, Lee? I just said, this one shouldn't be too bad. It's like, yeah, one of these days it's coming. One of these days. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So your communication being wrong will give place to the devil. Your communication in your home, if it's wrong, will give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, talking about your life now, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Uh-oh. Ouch. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What are you saying, that if I communicate wrong in my home, I might grieve the Holy Spirit of God, so then I'm actually wasting my time praying for revival, hiring a preacher in, paying him $1,500 a week, flying him in there, and having a hoopla, hoopla, hoorah party that they have there, and singing, and women squealing, and running around, and doing jumping jacks in the aisles, and all that stuff is a big, grand waste of time. Amen. Yep. Yeah. What's that? That was a rant, yeah. It is true. But what happens? It's a big waste of time. Why? Because he just said your communication, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What happens if you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? You ain't gonna have no power.
Amen.
So then my behavior, my communication, my actions dictate and show whether I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit or I'm going to please God. Because what am I told? Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So I'm disobeying the command, but I'm going to have a hoopla party, a hootenanny up there, and I'm going to do all those other things, right? I'm going to have that, a gospel hoedown right there, and I'm going to do all those things, but there's no power of God. Women go home, and they're mad at their husbands. They run their houses. They're a bunch of Jezebels. The husbands are a bunch of Ahabs. Nobody gets their family right. They're yelling, arguing, fighting, watching wicked stuff on television, everything else like that. But, hey, we're going to have revival. But people walk the aisle and make a decision. So that means that that's the evidence of revival right there. Give me a break. And then we take a bus to Dollywood. With $250,000. But if you want the recipe, it's right here. It's not that difficult to see. Your communication, the whole matters. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. Look, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That means put your anger away, put your malice, your wrath, the way you deal with your spouse, the way you handle your life, the bitterness that you've had in your heart. That's the old man. Put it away with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what should there be? There ought to be an attitude of love in the home. That's your communication ought to be in love. It ought to be bitter railing for railing or anger for anger. Hey, don't I know it? Sometimes things are frustrating. Sometimes it gets hard. I mean, you got 1,000 things. Right now, I got like 1,000 things going on at once. I mean, just everything, everywhere. And man, I get short, and I have to deal with it. I have to get right. I have to either step away, walk away, go for a bike ride, go do something. I got to get away. Why? Because. It's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things going on. But you still have to walk in love. Amen. You still have to be long-suffering. You still have to be patient. You still have to be kind. But we turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, right after we see be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of Christ, of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So it ought to be in love. Amen? Verse number 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What is that? It's in love. It's in love. It's not in this forcible, legal submission. Do you understand that? The legal submission. It's not. Yeah, it's by the Spirit, not by the letter. It's of a willing heart. My goodness, your wife ought not look at subjection like it's a jail cell. If she looks at subjection like it's a jail cell, you're doing it wrong. I just want you to understand that. It shouldn't be a jail cell, and you shouldn't treat her like she's some kind of indentured servant in your home. All right? That's not right. But she ought to get her joy from caring for the home. She ought to get her joy from caring for a baby. She ought to get her joy from caring for this life, caring for the things of the family. Amen? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What is that? In love. That is love one for another, an unselfish love, a love for children. In Ephesians 4 and 5, he deals with proper behavior in our new man and dealing with others. Then he gets to the order of submission. Recognize, though, listen to me closely, recognize the power of your words. Words can destroy, pierce, wound, cause a breach in the unity of the home. Your words can cause a breach in the unity of the home. They can pierce. They can bring sorrow. They can destroy. They can wound. Long after any biblical discipline was ever done, your words, if they're wrong towards a child or towards a wife, are way worse. Way worse. They'll remember those for a lifetime. That's why we have to be careful what we say. I'm going to give you some instructions from the scriptures. Our words can be a valuable tool to instruct and comfort, but your words also reveal your heart. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20, please. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Wow, so words, good words, edifying words, those words are health. Remember that sermon, My Heart Affects My Health? These words affect your health, right? For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One of the problems is too many times we fail to listen. Turn to Proverbs 15:31, please. We don't listen sometimes. We're afraid to listen sometimes. We get afraid. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. It's one of the problems we fail to listen sometimes. Proverbs 14:29, please. Sometimes we fail to think before we speak. If you're a man, that happens a lot. Did that come out of my mouth? It was rolling around up in there, but it wasn't supposed to come out there. It sounded a lot different in my head than it did on my lips. It didn't sound so bad when it was in here. But it sounds a whole lot worse now. And the look I'm getting right now tells me it was a lot worse than what I thought it was going to be. Oh, if I could take those words back. Some of you can sympathize with that, it sounds like. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth, oops, that's the wrong one, sorry. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You are exalting folly when you are so, listen, I want to tell you young men, I want you to listen very closely, okay? God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly. Amen? Sometimes as young men, you are so apt to speak up and say something right away. I mean, just, blah. And you need to listen and not speak. Especially when you're in a meeting and I'm just going to give you an example. When you're in a meeting, not to say that every member is important, amen. Okay, but when you're in a meeting with a bunch of men, you ought to listen to some of the older men. You ought to listen to some of those men that have some wisdom. That doesn't mean there's not a time for you to ever speak, because there is. But you ought to make sure some of those older men have spoken first. And that you listen to them. All right? And that you take heed and think, well, you know what? They know a little bit about this. They've had some experience with this. Instead of jumping forward to give your advice and your counsel right away. Amen? Hasty in speech exalteth folly. A hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Sometimes you just need to listen. Let them speak. Listen and be like, Think about it. It'll help you. Sometimes when we speak, we should choose the proper timing. So when you're communicating, sometimes you might be saying the right thing, but it might be the wrong time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, especially young men, they think, well, if there's a problem, okay, well, just say it right away and just get it out there. Well, sometimes people aren't going to receive what you're going to say at that time. Sometimes I just wait and I don't say anything right away. I just wait. Give it some time. But when you're young, you think, okay, I'm going to say it like all right away, especially when you're a young married man. You say some things that you shouldn't say. Or you should say, but you picked the wrong time to say it. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The right season. Mm-hmm. There's like, I could give you examples of that, but I think you probably could figure that out. That there are times that you're very careful with what you say and when you say it. Like if you're, let me give you an example. Let's say your wife has had a really rough day. Okay. And like, you can, like, she's expressed to you that it's been a bad day. Not a good idea to like look around the house and try to like be nitpicky. Not a good idea. If she's dragging, carrying one baby, dealing with another, doing this, doing that, running around, think before you speak. Or let's say she's with child and she's tired, she's not feeling well, she's very sick, and something or everything didn't get done the way you wanted it to be done, but you see the exasperation on her face. That would be a time to not say anything about that. And if you really want it done bad enough, do it yourself. Do you see what I mean? Why? Is that being submissive to my wife and letting her rule? No, it's called being compassionate. It's just being compassionate. It's understanding that I'm not some overlord, dictator, mean, angry ruler, but I'm a compassionate, loving husband that, hey, you know what? She had a bad day. Amen. She had a rough day. It wasn't easy. Right? So I'm compassionate. She doesn't feel well. When you don't feel well, everything in the world stops. When a guy doesn't feel well, I mean everything in the world stops for him. Everything. I got a cold. I got a sniffle. Right? And then everything stops. I can't do that. I got a cold. Leave me alone. Do that? Feel good. Look at my finger, okay? Look, I cut it. I can't do anything now. I have to sit there. Do nothing. But when a woman has a problem, it's like, you're all right. Come on, get up. Get going. Right? Because she's still mom even if she's sick, right? She's still mom if she's sick. She's still mom if she's carrying a baby and has other babies. She's still caretaker and doing all these multitasking things. And it's, you got to have compassion. You've got to look at that and say, you know what? Not a good time to say something. Even if there's a problem. Even if there's a problem, not a good time to say something. Deal with it later. She's not going to receive your instruction. All it's going to do is bury her into despair. So don't say anything. Wait. Deal with it another time. Same thing, lady, goes with your husband. He's had a rough day at work, or things have been bad, or, you know, everything's weighing down on him, and it's hard, and all these problems and concerns and everything else. not a good time to nag him about something that he needed that he didn't do. Don't do that. Amen. I got to keep going, man. This is long. I better keep moving. It's better to withhold saying certain things when it will not be received or the heart cannot bear it at that point, even when it's the right thing to say. Next principle, don't talk too much. Improper communication is the source of most family conflicts. When discussing a problem, it is important to listen to the husband, wife, or child. Excessive complaining about a child or an issue is worse than never disciplining a child. Way worse. Having a complaining and a nagging spirit. Many times when we're communicating, if we never let someone get a word in edgewise, they will become angry and bitter or discouraged. You got to let them talk. You got to let them at least talk. If someone feels they cannot talk with you or to you, they will not. You need to be approachable with disagreements and your failures as a father or a mother or a child. When solving a conflict, use a calm, soft answer. This is hard. That's why sometimes you can't deal with things right away. If you're the type of person who needs to walk away for a few minutes, right? Get your composure, come back and deal with it. Pray. Pray first. Proverbs 15:1, turn there. A soft answer. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay? So if you're in the middle of a conflict with somebody, using grievous words against them is not going to help. It only makes them defend themselves. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Soft answer, weigh your words. Proverbs 25:15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Yep. Soft tongue. Not returning railing. But just a soft answer. Yep. Loud, harsh words will always increase the conflict. Volume shouting down one another shows a lack of self-control. If you got to yell each other down, yeah, that's not biblical. It's not profitable either. How do you expect to gain or keep the respect of your spouse or children if you conduct yourself in a childish way? Especially with children, a loud, angry voice only teaches them to respond when you become loud and angry. Most children who disobey their parents do so because they've been taught that mom and dad mean business only after their temper flares. That's why it needs to be, I warned you, we're done. I mean, I gave you the command, this is what I said. Now comes the discipline. Because I've already told you, I don't need to. Why? Then they know you mean business. They mean that what you commanded is law. So they understand it. They're not confused. Well, I'm wait. There are people like I had a cousin when I was a kid. That sounds weird. When I was young, my cousin, we were at my aunt's house, and he used to wait for my aunt to flip out. Because he knew that she would flip out. Yeah, he would flip her out on purpose. And he would wait till she hit that level where she started screaming. And then when she started screaming, he would cover his ears and laugh the whole time. Yeah, he would just cover his ears and laugh the whole time. And you just laugh like that. And he did drive her nuts. That's why she's not doing well today. But, yeah. Why? Improper communication, improper discipline, not dealing with things leads to that. Yep. Most children who disobey their parents do so because they've been taught that mom and dad mean business only after their temper flares. A soft, firm, consistent mode of discipline will always gain the desired result. Next, in communication, avoid nagging. Don't nag. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Repeating it over and over and over and over again. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Saying a brawling woman is one that nags. Right? She's got a brawling spirit. She wants to be contentious. She is loud and stubborn. The Proverbs 7 woman. A loud and stubborn woman, a nagging woman. Right? It's a brawling woman. He said, man, you can have a wide house. And Solomon had some mansions, let me tell you. But he got me houses and he got me land. But you know what? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. There was no place for that man to hide. What's that, verse 19? Oh, go ahead. I'm not there. Go ahead. I'm already switched. Right. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. That's right. So what did he say? You better be off in the woods by yourself. Hey, Lee, are you trying to make a... Whoa! Is that why you're always in the woods? What are you? Oh, man. You are in so much trouble, man. Oh, my goodness. Go back to point one. Wow, that was bad timing, Lee. That's not true, because she goes to the woods with him, so. It's the children that are... No, I'm just kidding. but anyway, I thought I'd clarify that for you, Lee, just so there wasn't like 500 people online thinking that you're the biggest jerk in the world. But whoa. Okay. All right, Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Some of you women are looking at me kind of funny today. I don't know. I hope I'm not making you mad today. Well, either way. As long as you get right with God, you can get as mad as you want. It doesn't bother me. I sleep well, usually, if I don't drink too much coffee. But anyway, but notice he said that a continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman. Don't be nagging. That's not a way to communicate. You're not communicating properly by nagging your husband. All that does is just bring up a contentious home full of strife. Right, and he's not going to listen because he's just like, he's ignoring, he's blotting it out. You know? He's not going to. That doesn't give a man an excuse to be an Ahab either and not do the things he needs to do. But it's the point that you have to guard yourself by communicating like that, by nagging. Proverbs 25:24, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. He said it twice. It must have really sunk into him. Either that or he had a lot of brawling women around him. I don't know. But he said it twice, just to make sure. Listen, a word of praise will do more than constant nagging. Amen. Praising goes a lot farther. Right. Children love to be loved. And you and I do too. Right. You know, so make sure that, and we're going to talk about that, correction, positive, you know, reinforcement and correction, proper correction. Where, you know, with praise, we're going to talk about that because that's very important. Try to ignore insults, slights, things that happen. Try to ignore those. Don't take petty things to heart, you know. Try not to hang on every word. When people disagree, it's not usual to hear or make a remark. It is usual for people to hear or make a remark that is demeaning of character or cutting to the spirit. This may or may not be intentional, but many insults are made in a kidding way. But be careful with your words because they cut deep. Everyone will enjoy an occasional joke, but no one likes a constant diet of veiled insults. Nobody likes that. Where they know they're being insulted and it's just like it never ends. It's all that... that comes out.
Speak the truth in the home. If a problem comes up in the home, meet it in an honest way. You've got to speak truth, plain biblical truth about every matter, without fear or favor. Be honest about your failings and your downfalls. Man, you got to be honest. You can't, if your wife comes to you with something, you cannot act like it's not there. That is not a way to communicate. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never done that. I'm not like that. I don't do that. That was not my self-assessment. Yeah, I don't do that, do I? Yeah, you do. Oh, okay, sorry. I'll try not to do that anymore. Be honest about your failings and your downfalls. Though if you're not, it breeds hypocrisy and bitterness in people. You're not going to communicate well if you're not honest, if you don't speak the truth. You can't, you know what, you can use tact when you tell the truth and communicate concerning real problems in the home. Even when tact is used, the truth hurts. But we need to be able to communicate through real challenges and problems in the home. If my wife needs instruction in a certain area, then it is my duty to give it to her before it brings shame and reproach to my family. Don't make somebody else correct it, you correct it. Just like your children, don't make somebody else correct it, you correct it. Right? Amen. Or the police or somebody else having to correct it later because you, the authority figure that was there, didn't correct it and deal with it right. Amen. If my children do then, I need to admonish them and help them if they need correction. But the way you do it and handle yourself will go a long way in showing them that you love and respect them and care for their souls and their walk with the Lord. Next, avoid quarrels and bickering and arguing in the home. Don't argue, discuss, and have the Bible as your final authority. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 4. You shouldn't be having quarrels and bickering and arguing in the home all the time. If there is, there's a wrong communication, and you don't have the final authority, is not the Word of God. You've got communication breakdown there. Proverbs 17, 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. There ought not be that strife in the home like that. Proverbs 26, 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Don't stoke the flames of strife or bickering and quarrels. You got to be careful about that spirit of debate and arguing that you don't take it home to your wife and fill your family with strife. Something you got to be careful about online. You don't need to correct everybody online. You'll learn real quick they don't want corrected and they want to live like hell. So just post the truth and don't worry about what they're doing because you'll waste a lot of years doing that, a lot of strife. And then you bring that spirit of strife to your home. Then you've got that contentious, angry spirit in the home, and it's not good. It's not right. The home shouldn't be that way. It should be a haven of rest from the world. Amen. The spirit of quarreling will soon infect your home and life, and you'll welcome quarrels and spirits. You'll look for the argument, man, so you can just have it. There's people that do that all day long. Remember, everyone has a bad day, so ignore that which appears to be sharp or cutting. Don't look for a fight over every misspoken word, but put the fire out with soft words. Don't look for an argument. Oh, yeah? You think that? Well, listen here. No, don't do that. Use the devil. No, just kidding. Don't say that. Okay. We'll talk about burnt food now. James chapter 1, verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious. By the way, the next part, let me go back here. Nearly all arguments in the home would stop or be avoided if one party learned to bridle their tongue. And that's applicable for husband and wife. Both. James chapter 1, verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Tongues like hell. Right? I've got a series on that. It's on the back burner, but there's like six messages on the tongue. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not done reading yet. Yeah, is it still in James? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. He that hateth. Amen. That's right. Tongue. I'm telling you, we do not think about the power of the tongue. We do not think about our communication and what it can do. We don't. We don't think about the power of it, how it can give life or it can destroy. It can encourage people or it can discourage people. It can just lay them flat and nail them and destroy them. Or it can encourage them. That's right. What comes out of the heart, that's right. And the tongue, okay, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poisons. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It matters how you communicate. You need to follow biblical principles when you communicate in the home. Be careful what you say. Right? Be careful how you say it, because it has an impact on people's lives. It will impact your children for good or for evil. It will impact your wife for good or for evil. It will impact your husband for good or for evil. It will minister unto the hearers for good or for evil. You've got to be careful. Follow the word of God. Let it be your final thought when you communicate in the home. And then when disagreements come up, guess what? We follow the biblical principles that are there. We say, okay, well, you know, I've got to follow the word of God. That's our final authority. Christ is the Lord of our home. I'm to speak softly. Amen. I'm to have a calm spirit about myself when I'm dealing with things. You know? So there's other things. I'm to control my tongue. I'm to bridle my tongue. I'm to know the right time to say something. I'm to use wisdom and discretion. I'm to factor in all of these things before I communicate or when I'm communicating. I'm to apply these biblical principles. So we can have success. So when we deal with disagreements, they're very simple. It's not any harder than obeying the Word of God. It's not any more difficult to understand than obeying the Bible. And now I obey the Bible's principles of communication. Think about it. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Lord, may we communicate according to the Scriptures and deal with disagreements in the home a biblical way. Lord, none of us are perfect. We're all flawed. But dear God, we want to be. I believe we want to be perfect. We want to walk in righteousness, holiness, walk in the new man, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit of God. Communicate according to the Scriptures. Help us, Lord. Forgive us of our failures. Make them known to us, Lord, that we can get them right. Be with your children. Lord, bless this food to our bodies and the time that we have together as a church. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.